Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. How many of you know that the fires in the San Diego, Santa Barbara areas are related to arson? How many of you have you heard this from the arses in the media today? How many of you answer is very few. Very few of you have heard that. What you've heard instead is that it's related to global warming by the con men and the con women in the news business and in a political structure who want you to believe the big lie. But in fact, not only can I prove what I've just said, but there's a dead man to prove it. One arson suspect who was running away from the scene in a car was surrounded by police. He tried to ram the police cars. He was shot and killed. Send that message on to Harry Reid, who still thinks it's a result of global warming. Were the fires set by terrorists from the Middle East? We don't know, because the identity of the so-called man, the arsonist who was shot by the police, has not been released. Once again, a cover-up at the highest level. Second lead story, latest version of the so-called Dream Act, pushed forward by Harry Reid, failed in the U.S. Senate. Apparently, even the Democrats are not willing to go along with amnesty for illegal aliens, no matter what they call it this time. Third lead story, Pelosi's blunder leads to a new war. The fact of the matter is the Turks have already started an artillery barrage of Kurdish positions. This was all triggered by Tom Lantos and Nancy Pelosi, the biggest political blunder that I know of in the last 50 years. It is a bigger blunder than Iraq, because one can at least justify that in Iraq we are taking care of thousands of Al-Qaeda who are pouring in from around the Middle East to kill American soldiers and are getting killed themselves instead. But there's nothing to be gained by what Pelosi did and what Lantos did. Nothing whatsoever. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. This is the Savage Nation. Arson behind Santiago fire is what the FBI, the ATF, the Orange County Fire Authority, and the California Department of Forestry will announce today, which is that the massive Santiago Canyon fire, which has caused an estimated, in that canyon alone, $10 million in damages, is a result of arson. The investigators have thus far identified two separate points of origin where they believe the fire was set. FBI agents have secured the scene of the fires to maintain their integrity. As you well know, this is all part of the devastating wildfires in Southern California, which have caused at least $1 billion in damage, and, by the way, has caused the largest, what shall we call it, exodus in American history. I don't think you understand the magnitude of these fires. And I know it's hard to talk about fire on a radio show. We understand that if it burns, it earns on television. And we can't do the same as your friends can do on television, which is show ruination. But I can focus you on the fact that an arson suspect was tracked by the police. He was cornered. He tried to run the police over, and he was shot and killed. And the police will not release his identification. Until he does, we don't know who it is. This confrontation occurred, by the way, started about 6 p.m. yesterday when San Bernardino University police spotted a man in a rural area and scrub brush near the campus. University police tried to detain the man, but he jumped into his car and he fled. What happened was next was they tried to contact him, but they couldn't. He drove north. He went up a dirt fire road into the foothills. When officers tried to take him into custody, the man began to ram officers' vehicles. Officers shot and killed him. University Police Chief Jimmy Brown said both agencies officers fired, but right now we don't know too much more. He doesn't know too much more. You hear this? He doesn't know too much more. Later, 3 hours later, a man was seen by a female motorist squatting along the side of Highway 173 near Arrowhead Lake Road. Sheriff's officials say John Alfred Rund, this one is known, had just started a fire along the flat, isolated, scrubby road, and he took off on a Honda motorcycle wearing a red and white striped helmet. He has been caught as a result of the work of the CHP, the California Highway Patrol, who used helicopters and infrared equipment. They caught sight of this moron on his motorcycle, and they arrested him. He's being held on $750,000 bail on suspicion of arson. So there's two arsonists now that are known. The others are unknown. We don't know if it's terror by fire, and I'm sure that even if it's found to be terror by fire, you'll never hear about it. 1-800-449-8255, phone number, michaelsavage.com has the stories up on the website. KNEW, Jim, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think Lantos and Nancy Pelosi have a lot of heart. Finally, they're doing something that, you know, hasn't been done for, what, 90 years. It's shameless how America has not acknowledged that this genocide happened. What's wrong
you
with
mean
that?
You mean America acknowledged the caused the genocide by the Turks?
Yeah, so far, you know, we've made such a...
Hey, moron, now you're accusing America of causing the genocide of the Armenians? Listen, it's because of twisted folks like you who get to the senile, self-righteous Lantos who pushes forward this legislation at the wrongest time it could be put forward, and as a result, the Turks go to war with the Kurds. Now, what sense does that make?
The Iraq War is what opened it up. So why don't you say that?
Right, get off my show, you drunk. Get off my show and go eat some souvlaki somewhere. You know, I can't take this. I don't think I can do any more talk radio because I'm getting the stupidest callers in America on my show. Maybe it's the call screening. I don't know what it is. I don't know where they're getting these old geezers from. Every barbershop somewhere in Southern California? Sacramento, Max, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of people blaming fires on Democrats. It's like, it's ridiculous.
Where are you coming from? What do you have, salami in your ears? When did I blame the fire on Democrats, schmuck?
Hey, that's what you started off the show with, blaming fires on Democrats or people blaming fires on Republicans. It's like nonsense.
Hey, idiot, moron, idiot. I didn't use the word Democrat once, moron, idiot. I talked about arsonists. Did you hear it? Or was the word arsonist transliterated in your mind into the word Democrat? Are they one and the same to you? You have your wires crossed?
No.
Yeah, that's two in a row now. Let's go for the third. That's two in a row. I got one already, one with the Armenia. Armenia. It doesn't matter what the Turks do. It's about time America caused the Holocaust. That's number one. Number two, why are you blaming Democrats when I didn't even use the word Democrat? I said Pelosi's blunder leads to new war, not leads to new fires. But he didn't hear that. His wires were crossed. So we'll go to the next one. Let's see if we can get a triple here. Let's go to a triple. How many of you out there heard that arsonists are involved in the fires in Southern California? Well, anyone listening to the show has heard that, except the first two callers. Los Angeles, Michael, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. I just wanted to try and describe this devastation down here in L.A. It's hard to breathe. It's smoggy enough as it is down here usually, but I teach high school, and, man, my kids, you could see it today. They're panting and wheezing.
Where are you in L.A.? What part?
Near the airport, the Hawthorne area.
Yeah, well, I have a son in L.A. He hasn't seen any of it up near his area. Smoke, I guess. I guess it's selectively drifting.
Yeah, it's coming across the South Bay from Malibu. And, man, it was really smoky today.
Okay, I understand. You've got the direct run down the coast. So it would make sense that somewhere near LAX would pick up the smoke because it's running straight in a southerly line. But the smoke is not yet blown in, let's say, towards the east, the Sunset Boulevard area and that area, West L.A., so to speak. East is not in that area at all. It hasn't blown back into the canyons. When it starts to affect Beverly Hills, you'll find out that it's a fire. Until then, it'll be business as usual. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So we know for sure that at least some of the fires were set by arsonists, one of whom was tracked by the police and killed. That didn't make it to your local newspaper because they're still trying to blame George Bush for the fire. Again, whichever way he turns, he's wrong to the psychopathic liberal scum out there. First, they blame them for not appearing early enough at Katrina. Now they're blaming him for appearing too soon in California. There is a big difference in some regards with regard to the behavior of the individuals affected by Katrina, if you'll notice, and the behavior of the individuals in San Diego in the stadium. There's been no rape, no burnings, no lootings, no mayhem, and no murder in San Diego, while there was nothing but rape, murder, mayhem, looting, and shootings in New Orleans. Does anyone have an answer as to why that might be? Or are you afraid to mention the obvious? The big obvious you can't mention, right? The big obvious you can't mention. Los Angeles, Larry, you're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. Listen, I'm really convinced that this is terrorism, all these attacks. And can I tell you why?
Well, hold on. Before you go on, let's say you suspect that it's terrorism. Now, I want to confirm what we know. We know that there were two known arson suspects, one of whom has been killed, and the police have not yet released the identity of the second arsonist. So tell us why you suspect terrorism could be involved, Larry.
Well, if it was three or four or five fires, I might say, well, maybe it was fires. There's about 12 or 13 or 14 fires going on at once. There's a nuclear power plant, San Onofre, right in the midst of San Diego, between San Diego and Los Angeles.
Mm.
The Camp Pendleton thing is very fishy. I don't recall ever fires around Camp Pendleton. And it's a common fact that there...
Well, the reason the fires are raging around Camp Pendleton is the Marines are focused on persecuting their own. Instead of protecting even their own perimeter now, they spent $21 million persecuting Lieutenant Colonel Chassani, and they still haven't been able to burn him. So because the Marines are spending so much of their energy persecuting Marines in Iraq, I guess they forgot that they even have to protect their own perimeter. But let's put that aside, Larry. Look, I had someone call me this morning who I respect greatly, who surmised the following, which is along the lines of your surmisal. And he said to me, how do we know the Iranians aren't showing us what they can do to us if we attack them? How do we know the Iranians haven't said, we have Hezbollah agents all over America, we're going to show you what we can do in Los Angeles, we'll do this across America, and you can't stop us because you're afraid to do anything preemptively. You're tied up by your own idiotic laws and your own idiotic judges. We'll show you what we can do to America when we want, because you can't do anything until there are body bags. How do we know the Iranians didn't do it? He said to me. That's what he said to me. I dismissed it. I said, don't be crazy. But I don't think he's the only one asking the question. Don't expect the FBI to answer that question.
But Al-Qaeda has promised that they will use fires as a terrorist method.
That's correct. It's on my website. It came out in USA Today under the headline. I put the headline, were fires set by terrorists? Now, the story, to be fair to the discussion, goes back to a couple of years ago. It says the FBI alerted law enforcement agencies last month that an Al-Qaeda terrorist, now in detention, had talked of masterminding a plot to set a series of devastating forest fires around the western United States. Is that the story you're referring to? Yes. Contents of the June 25th memo from the FBI's Denver office were reported Friday by the Arizona Republic. The Republic reported that the detainee, who was not identified, said the plan involved three or four people setting wildfires using time devices in Colorado, Montana, Utah, and Wyoming that would detonate in forests and grasslands after the operatives had left the country. You hear this? Did you hear this? Now, this is an older story. I understand that. It's an older story. It was posted back a couple of years ago. But nevertheless, it was a reputable story from Al-Qaeda threatening the United States of America. And because we are, I don't know how to put it, shall I say, hamstrung? Would that be a proper phrase? Because we have been hamstrung by liberal lawyers and judges. Even if you saw an Arab man running through the forest screaming Allah Akbar with a gasoline can and a fuse and a blowtorch, he couldn't be arrested till he actually started the forest fire. Do you understand what's happened to America, how the liberals have crippled us? We are crippled. We are a crippled nation. So we can all start pointing fingers all you want, but until we get a new government, and it's, believe me, the new government isn't the Democrats. They're worse. If you think this government under Bush is crippled, you've seen nothing yet. You wait until the Bonnie Frank crew takes over the United States of America. You wait, then you'll see what's going on with this country and how good you had it under Bush and Cheney. If you think it's WOR in New York, Rick, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I don't believe that this is fire by terrorism, because terrorists generally step up and take credit for what they do, which is how they spread terror. I think what you're going to find, if we can ever get the truth out of them, is this is probably fire by illegal alien, i.e. illegal alien drug.
Well, I understand there are people suggesting that. I don't understand what the benefit would be to them. What, under the cover of fire, they sneak into America because the border guard was pulled from the border? Is that the theory?
Well, illegal aliens have already been caught that have been burned by this fire as they've been trying to cross under the cover of the fire.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, good. So let's blame the illegal aliens. Now what do we do? Who do we turn to on that one? Who's going to help us on that one?
Certainly not going to be George.
And if it turned out to be Hezbollah triggered by Iran, who's going to help us on that one? What if you sent the few armed men out into the woods to go catch them? The government would arrest the Americans with guns faster than they would arrest the Al-Qaeda members, the Hezbollah. Don't you understand what I'm saying to you? That we've been crippled by liberalism. Liberalism is a mental disorder, and I don't know that this disease is curable. I don't know if it's curable. I think it's terminal cancer by what I see. It's one of the reasons I'm having trouble doing the radio show lately. I believe the country has terminal cancer. I think the political structure is so corrupt. I think the political structure is so burdened with corruption and evil that there's almost no chance to save it. Here's another story I've been saving for you. Portland, Oregon. Lawmaker under fire for Marine T-shirt order. Oregon Rep. David Wu fought criticism Monday following a report in the Seattle Times that he got the U.S. Marines to buy shirts that can melt in battle, causing severe burns. He was given $7,000 by a sports company. He then made the Marines buy, as a result of this, through a $2 million earmark, shirts that catch fire. Mr. Wu.
Savage.
Could a bomb set off in the Southern California area have caused as much damage as this? Ask yourself that question. And the answer is, well, maybe it depends upon the size of the bomb. You got a million people displaced now. I mean, the financial losses are staggering. Nobody knows what they are. There are going to be insurance companies that go bankrupt, and people are going to lose their life savings and through their homes. And we don't know who started it. We do know for sure that the so-called wildfires were started in at least two places by at least two arsonists. That's what we know. Factually, we know two. One was killed by the police as he tried to get away. The other was captured. We don't know any more than that. What else do we know today for sure that is not speculation? We know that the Turkish military has started to bomb Kurdish positions. We know this was triggered, as sure as I'm sitting here, by Nancy Pelosi and Tom Lantos. Now, the problem is the media won't remind you what triggered this front in the war. And I asked you for days now, could it have been not a blunder, but could the Democrats be that Machiavellian that they would have provoked Turkey knowing that this would happen in order to open up a new front in the Iraq war? Could they have feared that things were going too well in Iraq? After all, the violence was down. Their worst nightmare, as I've said to you for 2 days now, would be peace breaking out in Iraq. Think about how bad that would be for Hillary's campaign if peace broke out in Iraq. So there's a lot at stake, you know, if the Democrats want to be able to rob the Treasury totally, as opposed to just part-time, they've got to take over the presidency. And in order to do that, they've got to show that George Bush is a complete disaster and he's wrong about everything. How better to do that than open up another front in the Iraq war just when things were going well, and to alienate our only real ally over there, Turkey, where 70% of the troops, gasoline, food, and water transits through Turkey, through the air base in Turkey. So now you alienate Turkey and you start a new front. That's what I call Machiavellian. You know, many of you amaze me. You went to college, you read Machiavellian political science, and you don't recognize Machiavellian politics when it stares you in the face. The Democrats are acting right out of the Machiavelli playbook by having opened up a new front in the Iraq war and by having alienated Turkey, our ally in the war. Don't you understand that? But you see, the media, you rely upon idiots in the media to tell you the truth when most of them are just dumb dolts who show you violence and pornography as their stock and trade. So what can I talk about? That's why I'd rather talk about, you know, meatballs right now or food. What can I do about this? Tell me what I or you can do about it. I am fundamentally an idealist who's always tried to do the right thing in my life. And when I came into radio, I thought I could make a difference. I saw what the devastation was under Bill Clinton. I saw the social devastation, the wildfires that he and she had set in this country against the family, against the church, against the flag, against the military, and against the police. They had set wildfires against the entire social order. So I said, well, let's try to get a conservative in there. Unfortunately, the wrong conservative was picked because he wasn't one. His name was George Bush. But in 2000, it was him or Al Gore. Thank God it was Bush. I helped get him elected. Same in 04. It was him versus the snot nose from Massachusetts, Kerry. I helped get him elected. Now, here we are facing what we're facing today. So it's kind of disheartening, to say the least, because what is the good of getting involved in the political process if at the end of the day you're going to get screwed anyway by both parties? Don't you understand what I'm saying to you? There's another story that attracts my interest, which is the story of Condoleezza Rice being attacked by this anti-war scum called Code Pink. Not only does this show the ineptitude of the State Department bodyguards, they're worthless. I wouldn't use the State Department bodyguards after this as doormen, let alone as bodyguards. I've never seen. If you watch the video of the so-called anti-war protesters getting as close to Condoleezza Rice as they did, you realize that they should all be fired. They're worthless, because if she could get this close with her hand, she could have killed her. Worthless. Worthless ineptitude at the State Department. You got to watch the video of Condoleezza Rice being attacked. It is not on michaelsavage.com. 1-800. We go to David, Chicago, WIND. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I am embarrassed and ashamed of Tom Lantos. My grandfather survived. He's from Hungary, survived Hitler, fled Stalin. And this is round two for Lantos. It was just a month ago he was berating General Petraeus. And now to do this, my grandfather came here and he loved this country. What Tom Lantos is doing is so anti-American. It's so working against everything that we need right now. It's unbelievable.
Now, but you're one of the few people who got the message that it was Pelosi and Lantos who triggered the Turk-Kurd conflagration right now. You don't read that, do you? All you see is Turkey attacks Kurds in the mainstream media. They're already making the Turks the bad guy and the Kurds the underdog. They don't tell you the whole story and what triggered this latest round of fighting, do they, David?
No, they don't. And it's a crying shame, because this was totally avoidable. This was not the right time to do this. And when I hear that voice of Lantos, that sneering, the condescension, I think back to my grandfather and how much he loved this country, and to hear that.
Lantos uses the Holocaust as a weapon against anybody who opposes him. That's what I detest about him. I don't like people who use such tragedies for their own personal gain. Do you?
It's almost like he's an anarchist or something. I mean, he's debasing everything.
No, he isn't. He's a politician, only he pretends he's better than everybody. Well, Lantos did this. Lantos did this. He shopped it to Pelosi. You didn't even know what was going on, as far as I could tell. She went along with it because she's kind of like, oh, that sounds good. I'm a liberal. Yeah, let's condemn the Holocaust against the Armenians. What a great idea, Tom. Sure, Tom. Backslapping. The next thing you know, there's a war. You know, I mean, unless it was worse than that, unless they actually sat down in a room and figured out to do this in order to open up a new front and to destroy our relationships with Turkey. I don't know. Maybe it's that bad. Maybe it's a step worse than we think.
But why don't they blame?
Thanks for the call. It's agonizing to talk about this. It's just agonizing, to be honest, when you look at this. Let's see what else is in the news here. I guess I got to go to my own website to see what's in the news, because I did collect it. I have the guy collecting. I read you some good stories already. We got the fire story. We got. Did you hear about the lawmaker under fire for Marine T-shirt order I told you about before the break? Oh, yeah. Oregon. Remember, I've been telling you stories that in World War II. Remember, there was a movie, I think, called All the Good Men or A Few Good Men or something along those lines with Edward G. Robinson about World War II. He was a wealthy manufacturer who got war contracts to make parachutes. And he was a shady character. Didn't care about anybody. All he wanted was a better profit margin. All my sons. Well, as the story was written, his own son goes into World War II, and he has to bail out of a plane. He bails out of a plane with one of his father's parachutes that his father made, and the parachute fails, and the son dies. This is exactly what is going on now because of the corruption and the greed in Congress, in my opinion. Here's one. This guy, Oregon Representative David Wu, who is he? No one ever heard of him. Some little, you know, grubber up there in the Oregon area. So what did the grubber do? David Wu gets a $2 million earmark in the year 2006 budget for a Beaverton, Oregon company in his district. Okay? The report finds out that the company, the parent company, Vital Apparel, donated more than $7,000 to this congressman. Okay? But that's where the story begins, not where it ends. They go and they make T-shirts that can catch fire and lead to horrific disfiguring burns if worn by the Marines. This essentially created a second skin which can lead to horrific disfiguring burns, said Captain Lynn Welling, the 1st Marine Logistics Group head surgeon who conducted research in Iraq. But that didn't stop the Oregon congressman from getting another earmark. After the ban, the good congressman, Mr. Wu, the good American after all, inserts another $1 million earmark into the next defense bill to make the Marines buy the in-sport shirts again. Did you hear this? Again. Did you hear this? Again. The ban on synthetic fabrics has now taken place because it could melt down on a soldier and disfigure him. Go tell that to Congressman David Wu. In another time, he'd be put into handcuffs and thrown into Leavenworth for 30 years. Today, he'll probably be made a U.S. senator for having done such good work against the U.S. Marines and shown such guile in his corruption. Houston, Texas, Martin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike, in my opinion, the Democrats will do anything to get in power. I think this is completely calculated, this thing with Turkey.
So you think that it's totally Machiavellian? You don't think it was a blunder by Pelosi and Lantos? You think they knew what would happen? They knew the Turks and Kurds would be, the Turks would have to go to war with the Kurds over this?
Correct.
I don't know. We'll never find out, will we? Well, the reason we'll never find out is because the so-called journalists are never going to find the smoking gun trail leading back to the Lantos-Pelosi meetings. And that's why all we can do is talk about it. Amarillo, Texas, Virginia, go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you for putting things in perspective. I understand that the California fire is very important, but it does not affect all Americans as that dream bill would. And I'm very glad that you mentioned that it was shut down. We won again because we spoke up. No other talk shows listening today had mentioned it. Thank you very much.
No other talk shows today mentioned that Reid was trying to push through the Dream Act?
Yeah, they mentioned it all week, but they never said if it went through or not. And that's what I was waiting for. You finally mentioned it. I listened to Sean.
Oh, well, to the air, you know, I'm not one to defend other talk shows, but I will right now because it didn't happen while they were on the air. The golfer was off the air when it happened. The leprechaun records his before it happened. But it happened later today. It happened at it happened at 10:13 Pacific time. Maybe the golfer was focused on the ninth hole instead of on the game overall. But they got shot down. It would have allowed young people brought to the United States as children by their illegal immigrant parents to become legal citizens, provided they attended school or entered the military. Now, of course, it wouldn't have required that they graduate from college. That they didn't tell you. They made it sound like every illegal immigrant was going to be an engineer or a scientist. Every one of them. They couldn't wait. Everyone brought in from Mexico or Guatemala. If only we had passed the Dream Act, you would have had the next Einstein waiting there in one of the barrios. But the evil, evil, evil conservatives shot this down. And all of these young Einsteins were just brokenhearted. They had to put down their slide rules, their computers, and go back to tilling the field rather than saving America from its lack of technological prowess. according to the articles being written. Lance, WOR, go ahead, please.
Michael, I love you. Listen, the fact that Wu, Pelosi, and the secular progressive monsters would do this with the military, I'm a retired 82nd Airborne Infantry. I don't know what's going on. We're in New Jersey. We can barely get you on the radio. They phase you out. I don't know what's going on, but all I know is this. I'm a union.
Well, what do you mean phase me out? You're listening to me on WR. What do you mean phase me out? You mean I'm not on the air, or the signal is weak?
We have a horrible signal. I'm on a New Jersey turnpike in a torrential downpour. I listen for the Savage Nation. I can't get it. All I know is
It could be the rain. It could be the rain, you know. Oh, it's raining in the East? I thought you had a drought last week, and it was out of control because of global warming. What, you mean the autumn came and we have rain?
No.
Wow.
Georgia, Mike. However, and I'm a union carpenter. We were born and raised Democrat. My whole family served everybody. All I know is this. I never listened to you. And you know what? Everything you speak about, I speak about every day on the job. And they're taking
a... Wait, hold it. You said you said you never listened to me, and that when did you start listening to me?
By dumb luck, one night, I turned on. I used to be a Bill O'Reilly guy.
Hey, look, I got to tell you something. I don't hate the guy. I don't know him. You know, to me, it's professional ribbing. You know, it's nothing more than that. If he's turned it into hatred, it's his loss. I don't hate the guy. He does a reasonably good job on television for a man with a limited education and his IQ being what it is. He does the best he can. He tries hard. His heart's in the right place. For a guy who cracks 100 after a fish meal, he does very good, Lance. Thank you very much for the call. We got to take a break. I'll be right back. Here's another DUI in Hollywood. I got to tell you this because there's a punchline to it that's worth noticing. First of all, the article says TV legend Gary Collins busted for DUI smash-up. He hit an 80-year-old blah, 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 in Sherman Oaks. Now, first of all, I never heard of Gary Collins. I don't know why he's a TV legend. But let's assume that he was a TV legend at one point. So he's driving drunk, and he smashes his Ford Explorer in Sherman Oaks at 5:30 p.m. into a blue Toyota driven by an 80-year-old. He loses control, blah, blah, blah. And they have to take the old man out of the car. Police arrive. Collins was given a field sobriety test, which he failed. Then the cops try to get Collins to perform a breathalyzer test, but Collins claims he was hard of hearing. Now, he's 69 years old. He says to the cops, what? What? I don't understand. Finally, the cops get pissed off at his cagey behavior. They arrest him. And eyewitnesses say that you could smell Collins from 5 feet away, so they book him. Now, here's the punchline. Gary, the so-called TV legend, is currently hosting Now Playing with Gary Collins on Comcast Cable's Retirement Living TV, featuring experts in gerontology and senior lifestyles. They say he's best known for his work as the Emmy-winning host of The Home Show. I never heard of him. How does he become a TV legend just because he was a... Anyway, look, if you had to do a Comcast TV show on retirement living, you might drive drunk, too. You know, it's like some they say, like, death by cop. You would also roll the dice if you had to do that for a living at age 69. But the guy has nice sartorial qualities. He wears loafers without socks. Looks, he's got all of his hair, and it's brown by the arrest photo. And he's wearing a nice pair of shorts. But he could have killed a bunch of people. So there it is. What does everybody in L.A. drive drunk? But, you know, it's a bigger question in America. If you sat outside any highway or byway in the United States of America at, I would say, between 9:30 p.m. onward, and you stopped every car that went by, you could catch thousands of DUIs every night. I mean, everyone driving over the Golden Gate Bridge after 9 o'clock at night is drunk here in California. What did they go to San Francisco for? Dinner? Probably dinner. And what do people do at dinner? Well, if they're not Muslim, they usually drink. Then they drive home. And they're driving with at least 2 to 3 drinks in them. Of course, it's wine. It's a sophisticated drink. It's wine. So they're drunk, in other words. They're DUI. So why be shocked when someone in L.A. gets into an accident? There's more traffic, and the drivers are more insane, and so there's more accidents. That's all. But the fact of the matter is, there it is. John, WKRC in Cincinnati, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike, I wanted to ask you what you thought of Tom Lantos and his hearing. This is the there's been multiple times that Code Pink has infiltrated his hearings. Yeah.
I think he invites them in. I was going to ask the same question. How did these stinkers get into that hearing that the great Tom Lantos, Holocaust survivor, has chaired? It's not the first time. How did they get in there that they were able to almost, they could have strangled Condoleezza Rice or shot her. They got right in her face. And Tom Lantos was chairing it. I mean, by mere dint of him chairing it and happening twice, it shows he's probably inviting them in. Isn't that what you're implying?
Yes, exactly, because
they're from his neighborhood. The code stinkers come from the area that Lantos is from. He probably gave them the tickets. How'd they get in there? No, I watched it. It got me sick. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Condoleezza Rice, but she's our Secretary of State. I don't want anything to happen to her. And you see these witches get right in her face with their hands, and her bodyguards couldn't stop them until after it was too late. How did you feel? Did you see the video on it, John?
Yes, I did, with the hands right in her face. I can't believe that they let those people in with...
Right, no, but wait a minute. Let's talk about the ineffectuality of Condoleezza Rice's State Department bodyguards. How did they let these code stinkers get right into her face? They should be fired. Don't you agree with me?
Exactly. They should never get... I should never be able to get that close to a person in power.
Yeah, with red hands, calling her, you know, warmonger, whatever... The woman could have stabbed her, shot her, or whatever she wanted to do, and they grabbed her after they did it. But the bigger question is, why again in another Lantos hearing? That's what you're raising now, John. Answer, in my opinion, Lantos gave them tickets in order to embarrass Condoleezza Rice. The guy is batting 2-for-2 right now in his last two public displays. Tom Lantos is a senile old man who should be driven out of office.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
So the idiots on the left are saying that the fires in Southern California are the result of global warming, while we already know that in at least two cases it was arson. We're not inventing this. They are inventing that. One arsonist, in fact, fled the police and was shot dead. The other one is in custody. So we know that there's arson in at least two cases of this mammoth fire. Topic number two is that the Turkish army is bombing the Kurdish targets along the Iraqi border, thanks to Tom Lantos and Nancy Pelosi's ineptitude or Machiavellianism, depending upon which way you look at it. But they did this. Make no mistake about it. They caused this conflagration. Topic three, Bush is the biggest spender since LBJ. New article came out this morning that I'm not shocked by. Although Bush is now posing as an apostle of small government and budget slashing, and telling us to watch out for the liberals, he is the biggest spending president since Lyndon Baines Johnson. In fact, he's such a big government guy that he's a bigger spender than Lyndon Baines Johnson, the liberal Democrat, was. Under Bush, defense spending has gone up, but it's not the only area where the spending has gone up. Many of you will defend Bush's spending and say it's because of terrorism, but you're wrong. Because there are budget items that Congress and the president can control that he has not controlled, such as Social Security and Medicare. And they shot up an average annual rate of 5.3% during Bush's first 6 years. while the annual rate was only 4.6% under Johnson. I know many of you get you go to sleep when I start reading these statistics, so I won't do any more. But there it is. Bush, the big government, big spender. Tell that to Rush Limbaugh, the Bush bot. Any topic is fair game. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. My website's michaelsavage.com. I have some of these stories. If you'd like to talk about them, you can by calling that number. If you want to talk about how did Code Stink get into the hearings run by the stinker Tom Lantos, how did they get close enough to put bloody hands or hands that looked like they were dipped in blood next to Condoleezza Rice without any security stopping them, and was Lantos involved? Be my guest. You can do that if you wish. WOR in New York. Greg, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Mike. I guess please don't allow your dislike of Pelosi to govern logic on the Armenian issue. You know, the Resolution 106 about the Armenian genocide, it's really nothing more than acknowledgement of basically one of the worst crimes humanity has ever seen. I mean,
here we go again. Let me start again and be very patient with you. Yes, it was a slaughter of 1.2 million Armenians. We agree on that. We all agree on that. We are talking about the ineptitude, the timing of this legislation, proposed legislation, which, by the way, did not go through last Thursday. The Turks had said, don't do it. And it was a provocation by Lantos and Pelosi. It has nothing to do with my like or dislike of them. What I dislike are the results of their ineptitude.
It just seems like we're allowing how Turkey is going to feel or how they're going to be upset.
George, let's stop for a minute. What the Ottoman Turks, meaning the Muslim Turks, did at that time period is very important for historians. But don't you think that given the state of the world today, and since Turkey is a moderate ally of ours and a moderate Muslim nation, that we should go out of our way not to antagonize this generation of Turks?
Why is it antagonizing? I mean, it's just an admission of something that happened. It's a fact.
Wait a minute. Okay, let's start again. Did it antagonize them or did it not? Well, you're not answering the question. Did the proposed measure antagonize the Turkish government or did it not?
Why would it antagonize them?
Well, you know, you're answering a question with a question, which means that you lost that particular round. Of course it antagonized them, which is why there's a conflagration on the northern Iraq border, which is exactly my point. They should not have been antagonized now. Not now. That's my point. Why put the cart before the horse? What was to be gained by antagonizing Turkey now? Can you explain to me what would have been gained?
I can explain. It's not so much about antagonizing Turkey. It's about admission of one of the worst crimes that's ever happened in the Armenian.
But why now? Tell me why now. Why would Pelosi have brought this forward now? Why now?
It's not so much now. It's been going on for decades, Mike. For decades, the Armenians have
All right. It has been going on for decades. And Bill Clinton apparently didn't pass the measure, did he?
Excuse me?
It didn't pass during Bill Clinton's reign, did it?
It didn't. I mean, but for so
many... All right. Why? Because we didn't want to antagonize Turkey then, and we needed Turkey less then than we do now, which again proves my point. I'm not talking about whether or not this measure should be passed. Of course it should be passed. But at this time, this sensitive time when the Kurds are provoking the Turks, and the Turks said, if you pass it, we're going to go to war with the Kurds, we're not going to take this, and we're going to withdraw our support for your military transport through our nation. Why would you do this if you had a political sense?
And that might...
But again, George, before you go away, I want you to understand, I'm not denying that the Holocaust against the Armenians occurred. I hope you heard me on that.
I did, and, you know, I listen to you all the time. You know, most Armenians are conservative, myself included.
And by the way, long before anybody talked about the Armenian Holocaust, when I was still a local host, I covered it numerous times. I would not let it go unmentioned. I am not talking about that. I am talking about the ineptitude of Pelosi and Lantos and what results it has caused. So please understand, I know that the men were all killed and the Armenian women and children were driven out into the desert and let to starve to death. I'm aware of the Holocaust against the Armenians. But are you also aware that our good friend, the Hitler of Iran, had tried to make inroads into Armenia as near as a few days ago? And that he was planning a trip to Armenia, because the pot had been stirred by Pelosi and Lantos to such an extent that it was working in the favor of our worst enemy? We're talking about political ineptitude here, George.
I understand, Mike, about the timing. You know, it's just it's a very unfortunate situation for the Armenians because for decades they've been trying to...
What would the Armenians gain by such a passage, if such a bill passes? Tell me what they gain.
I think it's just basic. It's a human rights, it's a morality type of thing. It's acknowledgement of this crime. Now, granted, the Resolution 106 talks nothing about gaining land back. It says nothing about, you know, paying fees.
Well, what it's all about is leading to reparations, the way the Jews got reparations from Germany for what was done to them in World War II. Make no mistake about it, there's big money at stake. Let's put aside the human element here, and let's talk about dollars and cents. Such a resolution would guarantee that there could be claims made against the Turkish government and reparations claimed against them. So there are big powers. There's big power behind this, George, as well. But that doesn't mean we don't disagree on the fundamentals here. I'm talking about the ineptitude of the Democrats and what extent they will go to undermine George Bush and the war effort. It's all about reparations. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. Always look for the money, because following this would be an Airbus full of lawyers, incidentally. What else do you want to talk about? OR, New York. Ed, go ahead, please.
Yes, it seems like Turkey would like to attack the Kurds anyway. What Nancy Pelosi did does not help the situation. They should see the big picture. If there is a loss of the war in Iraq, it would affect them. I think it's up to them to use their head and sort of...
But it doesn't matter what you and I think. The war has already been started now. The Turks have bombed the Kurds along the Iraqi border. That region of Iraq was one of the most peaceful regions in Iraq until Pelosi and Lantos stirred the pot by threatening this resolution. That's what triggered the latest round of fighting. It was rather stable there until now. Thanks for the call. I don't know how many different ways to say it over and over. What's the point? You know, I found out something. I found something out with talk radio. A, we can have very little impact on the political structure. They're immune. They live in their own world. Now, it's true we have some victories. We stopped the Dubai ports takeover by the Dubai government. We derailed the immigration amnesty bill. We did it. So don't think we haven't had any effect at all. I know I've had some good effects through you. I've raised money for Lieutenant Colonel Chassani. He lost the first round because a general was given another star and promoted in order to burn him and throw him under George Bush's politically correct bus. But we're going to fight for Chassani. So there is good that can be done. Unfortunately, it's been 15 long years of fighting in the trenches here in talk radio, and I am exhausted. I don't know that the results of my work are worth the effort that I have put in. Maybe in the beginning I had more energy, and maybe I had more belief and more faith in the system than I have right now. I don't know. But at this point, I have absolutely no faith whatsoever in any governmental official. Now, you may say that this cynicism is a healthy cynicism, and that as a result, we'll all create a third party. Yeah, maybe one day. I doubt it. All a third party run right now would do was guarantee an election of a Democrat. That it would guarantee it, that despite the ineptitude of Rudy Giuliani, he still has a shot to win the election because Hillary's unelectable. And the Republicans could win it if only they had one honest man running who actually took positions and didn't change them every other day and was clear as a bell of what he would do against this and what he would do against illegal immigration and what he would do for this and how he'd support the family and blah, blah, blah. But we don't see it. We see wishy-washy. They're on every position they have. So what I'm getting at is, if I were to open up a campaign, if I would say to you, you know what, I'm so pissed off and so fed up that not only am I not going to leave radio, but I'm leaving radio to run for the office knowing I'm not going to win, but I'm going to get 15 million people voting for me. Well, you say, hey, that's great, Mike. We teach him a lesson. No, I would suspect that the Hillary Clinton campaign would support such a move. There could be nothing better than getting a third-party candidate such as myself running because I would electrify the base. Unfortunately, it would work for Hillary Clinton's advantage. She would dig up selected quotes with a few of the degenerates in the media, and they would try to say, you see how I'm better than him, he's an extremist. And then with, of course, the leprechaun joining her, trying to paint anybody who's a real conservative as an extremist. It would only serve the Democrat, liberal, socialist establishment for a third party a run. So I understand that, and I'm not naive, and I'm not going to do it, and I'll be back.
Savage.
It is amazing that Harry Reid, I mean, I thought he was a reasonably intelligent man. Okay, Democrat, politically the other side of the aisle. He said one reason why we have the fires in California is global warming, the Nevada Democrat told reporters, emphasizing the need to pass the comprehensive energy package. So reporters were so astonished by this that they pressed him and said, do you really believe global warming caused the fires, Senator Reid? And then Reid appeared to back away from his comments, saying that there are many factors that contributed to the disaster. Of course, he didn't mention arson. As one of the factors, arson either by an illegal immigrant or arson by a terrorist. Meanwhile, the fires go on. Barbara Boxer has said that she would send as many bagels as possible because she can get them toasted for free. Dianne Feinstein said that she would see if there's anything the Chinese can do in the way of exporting some products to help us with the fire. And other than that, we haven't seen anything in the news about the fires. Kalispell, whatever, Carrie, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I am your demographic. A few weeks ago, a woman called and said your demographic was white, male, racist, and I strongly disagree. I'm an intelligent, mother, educated conservative, and I am your demographic.
Well, you're one of the demographics, the demographic of talk radio in general. AM talk radio is generally white male. Thank God there's a place for the white males to go because they've been driven out of every other corner of the media, who has pandered to the feminists, the homosexuals, the illegal immigrant, the Muslim terrorist, and the global warming fanatics. So there's at least one place to go for the straight, intelligent white male, and that is AM talk radio. That doesn't mean it's 100% white male, but it's, you know, to be fair, I know the demographics. They're predominantly white male, but let's not forget that white males are still the majority in the United States of America. I don't know if people know that, but people of Caucasian descent or of European extraction are still the majority in the United States of America. Thus far, Bush hasn't been able to turn it into the Middle East, although he's trying to bring in as many burqa wearers as he can. He hasn't succeeded yet. Thank you for the call. Can we move on to something else? I'm absolutely bored of this. Is there any other topic? Can we make it a lifestyle in some way? Can you ask me a lifestyle question? Can I take a request? I'll do anything, frankly. Fred Thompson yesterday became the first major presidential candidate to embrace attrition, whatever that means, as the solution to illegal entry, saying the government should deny illegal aliens a hiding place by cracking down on the businesses and sanctuary cities that shield them. Hey, good job, Fred. Let's start in San Francisco. Cut off all federal funds to San Francisco in a so-called sanctuary city, whatever that is. What do you mean, sanctuary city? Sanctuary for what, drug addicts and drug dealers? What do you mean by sanctuary city? It's a good idea. Cut off the federal funds. Of course, it's not going to happen, not with the pork barrel spending out there, you know. Is it raining yet in Georgia? Is any rainfall? I know that tonight's the World Series night. I understand most people are other directed tonight. It's take me out to the ball game. Fires, terrorism, illegal immigration. Affirmative action, nothing bothered. All they want to know is which schmuck hit which ball where. Take me out to the small game. Take me out to the crowd. I'm just a moron American. Take me out to the small game. Turn it off. Not funny. Not funny at all. I know funny. That's not funny. Canton, Ohio. Oh, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, I just wanted to tell you, don't give up the fight. You are worth your weight in gold. I mean, you saved those Marines' lives, not only helping get money to defend them, but giving your own money. You're the only person that did that. You are well worth your weight in gold. You can't give up the fight now.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but the guys below Chesani were all found not guilty at the end. Then General Mattis threw them under the bus, took the one-star and the one-star raise and went to another posting. They're throwing Chesani to the wolves, the liberal wolves. You know that.
That's absolutely true. But without your help, he wouldn't have gotten...
All right, I gave him 10 grand. I'm going to announce another donation later this week. I'm going to continue to try from behind the scenes. I don't
you know
post
I think
about
go to my PC
rush.
Is great. I always recommend it to anyone who needs to access their office PC from home or while traveling.
The fire is a huge story. I mean, it's as important as terrorism, and there are many, many mistakes that have been made. For one, not burning the underbrush in controlled fires, which I pointed out yesterday, has not been done because of the environmental maniacs who know nothing about controlling fires by making fires. Number two, why in the world are homes being built in fire-prone areas? Answer, because there's no zoning control anymore, and because people have forgotten that nature has the last laugh. You know, it's like you build a house on a beach and then suddenly the house gets flooded at high tide. Oh, why did that happen? How come the government didn't stop the tide? Well, why'd you build on the beach for, moron? And so why are you building houses in fire zones? That's number two. There are many reasons here, you know, and you don't have to blame Republicans or Democrats for the fires. But as far as the turkey issue, you can blame Pelosi and Lantos squarely. Salt Lake City, Utah. Sherry, you're on the Savage Nation.
Well, I don't know about the zoning thing, but you asked for a change of subject. Do you want to change the subject, Mr. Sam?
Yes, please help me. Save me here.
Well, you know, I just wonder about Halloween. I wanted to know what you feel. Do you think there's been a change in the way that Halloween is celebrated in schools?
Yes, because of the perverts and the sickos. Parents are very reluctant to let their kids go out alone, and they should be. There are a lot of nuts out there. What about the razor blades and apples story from years ago? Remember that one? Or the people putting toxic food? Why would you want a child to go collect? First of all, why turn your child into a beggar? That's number one. Dress him up as a witch or a warlock and have him go around begging for food. What is the value in that? Can you explain that to me?
I think it's more just the dress-up thing and just being silly.
Well, yes, I understand that. In San Francisco, that's a big thing. But why make our children do it? Why make the children cross-dress?
In San Francisco still? Do you see kids going out with their parents and walking
around? No, there are too many people who trick them, don't treat them. If you were a parent, would you let them trick-or-treat in San Francisco?
It's a surrender of our personal rights, though, to just have fun, you know?
I remember when I did this 10 years ago, my son called me and got mad at me. He said, hey, Dad, you know, lighten up. He said, kids love it. It's fun. I said, all right, it's fun. I don't like it. I'm an old curmudgeon at this point. I thought Halloween is the stupidest holiday on the calendar that should be X'd out. It's an insult to everybody. What's the point of it? I mean, what do you mean it's a Hallow evening to who? Who is it a Hallow evening for? Witches. It's celebrating the worst form of atheism. And it's turned into the biggest national holiday, by the way. Do you see America celebrating Christmas to this extent? No. Why would you celebrate a witch holiday like this? But let's put that aside. The kids did it and I didn't stop them, but I was always uncomfortable letting them dress up like pirates or, put a sheet over their head. I mean, we're not living in the South in the 1930s. What do they need to put a sheet over their head for? And go, have you ever seen the lawns in the suburbs, how much money these morons spend on fake webs and this and that? I mean, it's amazing to me. What for? But the big thing is why have your child go around as a beggar? And the third thing is, would you really want him to eat candy that a stranger gave them? I don't understand parents in this day and age who would put their children out on the street and turn them into homeless beggars. Orlando, Florida. Mark, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's an honor to talk to you. I'm a big fan of yours. I just wanted to say I'm an Armenian-American, second generation born here, and I totally agree with your opinion about this is the wrong time to go
Thank
after.
You. That's all I'm saying. Yes, it's a Holocaust that occurred. But why push it now? Unless they didn't know what they were doing, which I doubt, they did it on purpose to get the results that they got. Lantos and Pelosi did this knowing that the Turks would be provoked. They knew that it would possibly cut off our supply line into Iraq and worse yet open up a new front in the war. For that, I have no words that I can express my anger.
Yeah, I was sickened when it dawned on me that they were using this for political advantage to undermine our troops. We've been waiting almost 100 years for recognition of the genocide, and to bring it up now is a slap in the face to the Armenian-Americans, especially the Armenian-Americans in this country, and to use it for political gain is disgusting.
That's actually a third point that I didn't think of. You want to talk about cynicism, you just raised it. It's even more cynical than I can believe. That's using the Armenian Holocaust, using it for political advantage, which is even uglier. Thank you for the call. No, nobody's interested in this except me. I don't like to see human tragedies used for personal or political gain. That's all. Are there any other topics out there? Is there a ball game tonight or something? There must be a ball game. Let's talk about Halloween. What are you doing for Halloween? I'll tell you my plans. My son, as you know, owns the Rockstar Energy Drink Company, and he has a huge, gigantic success because he's a genius and created the best energy drink in the world. That's number one. That's because he grew up in the herbal business, and he really knows what he's doing. And other, by the way, others have tried it and failed, incidentally. A lot of real wise guys who like to put him down. They invested a fortune and lost their shirts because they didn't know what they were doing. So he puts on a big Halloween party every year. Last year I went to his party. I'm not going this year. I couldn't handle it. 1,500 people. It was a little too much for me. And this year he's having it at the Playboy Mansion. Thank God he's not having it at his own house. I said, I'm never going to go. If you ever have another party at your house, I'm never going to go. I can't stand to see people putting cigarettes out on your patio and, you know, ruining this and that. So he's having it at the Playboy Mansion, and I'm not going. Now, why am I not going? Because I'm not into parties. Younger people, they like it. You know, you got all of these, like, the girls that I talk about on this show are there, frankly. They're all there. I mean, they're great figures. They wear the most revealing costumes imaginable. It's not good for a man over the age of 40 to be there, number one. But number two, it's not my party scene, you know. Nothing wrong with it, I guess, if you're young and single. They're going to have a great time. And if you want, I'll put the pictures up. And a lot of you guys like to see the pictures from these parties. He didn't even invite me this year. Incidentally, he knows I'm such a curmudgeon that he didn't even invite me. So I'm not, I wasn't even invited, to be honest with you. I mean, I could force my way in. You may say, well, wouldn't you want to go to the Playboy Mansion? No. When I was 18, yeah, I wanted a Jaguar and I wanted to go to the Playboy Mansion. Now that I'm over 18, the answer is no, I don't want to go to the Playboy Mansion at all. WOR New York. Stefan, you're on the Savage Nation.
God bless Savage. Michael, earlier you said that you feel like America has terminal illness, political cancer, and I agree wholeheartedly, and I just wanted to say that I think liberalism, our form, is a fine thing when it was balanced by strong conservative principles. But now that that balance has been eroded, when we have just total liberalism to the extreme, I think, yes, it is like a cancer. It's like an acid.
Yes, that's right. It's a cancer that used to be contained by conservatism. But the conservatives sold us down the river, stabbed us in the back. As you saw today, it came out Bush is a bigger spender than the liberal Democrat Lyndon Baines Johnson. He way outspent the biggest of the biggest liberals. He's a big government guy. So we've been, well, I almost said the wrong word. We have been misled by George Bush, who's a bigger liberal fiscally. He's a fiscal socialist, is what I've called him.
Especially in the social conservatism realm. I would like to say one more thing is that I was reading history. One of the ancient church fathers, like some of his writings from 300 or so, and he said that when the barbarians took over Rome, that they actually brought a stern form of morality back, and they made every single woman marry. And when in Rome at that time, there were a lot of single women who were just promiscuous and, you know, things going on. He said that the barbarians, like the Visigoths and the Vandals, that they actually enforced a form of morality upon the Romans when they took over. And I thought that was interesting, as you have sometimes brought up
That's interesting. Yeah, well, I brought up the counter effect of radical Islam with our degeneracy. It's a similar analogy, I would think. But certainly I'm not looking forward to the victory of radical Islam, and I don't think you are either.
I don't welcome it, but I just kind of look at it with horror as it's happening in front of us.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. It's awful. Yeah, I know it is depressing. Look, it's very easy to get on the radio and be a Connie Barker and say everything's wonderful. Things are terrific, nothing's ever been better. And in a way, it's easy to say that and be right. It's a beautiful country, we still have great freedoms, but it's not been granted to us by this gang.
the freedoms we're enjoying today were not granted to us by this gang of inept politicians. I can guarantee you that. And the only reason we still have freedom and relative harmony and peace in the United States of America today is because the founding fathers were such geniuses that they prevented these politicians from gaining absolute power. You see, could we talk about Halloween and what you're going to do on Halloween? Here's what I'm going to do on Halloween. I started to tell you last time, which is A, I'm not going to the big party in Los Angeles. So that means I'm stuck here in the San Francisco area. Now, since I don't celebrate this holiday, what I do is I close the gates, put the lights out, and leave no gifts for the children. What am I going to give children? I'm a PhD nutrition. What should I do, leave them candy? I once tried leaving apples and giving them apples. They spit at them. They don't want health food. They threw them down the street. At least the deer got something out of them. So what, I'm going to be the guy who gives them the healthy stuff that they don't want? I thought maybe I should give them silver dollars or something. They'd probably throw them away. They're all little communist brats anyway in Marin County. If I actually gave them a silver dollar, a Liberty dollar, they'd probably throw it in my face. They'd probably want something with Karl Marx on it. They'd want a Leninist dollar instead of a Liberty dollar. Matt, WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Mike? Yeah, Mike, did you ever go trick-or-treating as a kid?
Yeah, of course I did.
Okay, because you were saying like it's way different.
Yeah, but nobody put razor blades in the apples in my day. Smiling fathers usually greeted the children and gave them gifts and loved the little children in their costumes. Today, the smiling father would probably be a rapist.
You know, I had you on the radio, right? And the RNC called me up, right? You know, for money, right? You know, because we're Republicans.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Give him money. I'll tell you what to give him. Yeah.
To this guy.
So what'd you give him? What'd you say to the RNC, the Republican National Committee, when they called? Yeah.
All right, man.
Thank you. I'll tell you what I would say. I wouldn't give him 10 cents. Send it to the defense of Lieutenant Colonel Chisani. Instead of giving it to the RNC, give it all to the U.S. Marines Defense Fund. That's all. Go on my website. You'll see where to send it. It goes to the Thomas More Law Center, not to me. I don't get a dime. Ocala, Florida. Roy, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I found out tonight why I like you so much. You're so normal. In my younger days, I was like that, too. Now we're older. We know better. And you just tell all the things like I helped elect that guy Bush, and I wish I hadn't done it now. And you're so normal. That's all I want to say.
Well, I don't think it's true. I have a string of people who would disagree with you, but
I don't.
My views are somewhat, let's say, sane in an insane world. Let's put it to you that way. But no man is truly normal, Roy. What you're saying is I reflect what the average intelligent man out there thinks. Isn't that what you're really saying?
Yes, and we got so many problems today. You're bringing it all out in the open for us to know which way we want to think.
All right. Well, thank you for that. But it's painful to do so. Don't you understand? It's painful to do so. That's the point. Halloween, Evansville, Indiana. Ian, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, first of all, I want to say I love your show. I listen to it all the time. I wanted to talk about, you said earlier that Halloween was the biggest atheist holiday celebrated in the nation. It's not an atheist holiday. It's a pagan holiday, which is a little different. They do acknowledge that there's God, and they just see a certain power in nature. And the way it started...
Wait a minute. Wait. You're saying this is a pagan, not an atheist holiday. How do they differ?
Atheism, they don't acknowledge that there is a godhead or, you know, a bigger power, you know, an afterlife. Pagans acknowledge that there is a higher power even if they don't call it God. They just see that there's a power in nature.
Okay, God, I get it. The pagan religion, you could worship a rock, in other words.
Right.
If you found a particularly colorful rock, you could bring it home and start building an altar to it. Then you could put, let's say, a chicken feather with menstrual blood on it, and you could turn that into your deity, right?
I don't know why we got into the menstrual blood, but yeah.
Well, I'm saying, why not? Why not worship feces or the entrails of a pig? We can really go back to where it all came from. You know, the ancestry of paganism, they used to worship the entrails of a pig because they thought that the truth was in the entrails of an animal. See, so this is, I'm not a big fan of Halloween, that's all. Las Vegas, Bill, K-Dawn, go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, a true pleasure to speak with you. You've ruined it. I can't listen to the other talk show hosts. I start yelling at them. They're not giving us both sides. It's just driving me crazy. And I learned this from my 24-year-old son, God bless him, Brandon, said, Dad, he chewed me out for listening to you-know-who. And he says, you got to listen to this Savage guy. You got to listen. And at first I was like, wow, who's this radical? And now it's like my scales fell from my eyes, and you've ruined it.
I'd like to say, what exactly do you mean? What have I ruined?
You've ruined ignorance is bliss. And I was.
Oh, you mean when you were listening to a guy who would say that the Republicans are the best thing since whole wheat bread, and the Democrats are all evil, that kind of thing.
Exactly, and it makes life so much simpler. You don't have to think.
Yeah, it does. It's like rooting for the Red Sox versus the Yankees, or the Yankees versus the Red Sox. And some of the talk show hosts are smart. They're very smart men, and they realize the average person out there wants to root for a ball team, and you may as well tell them which team to root for, and they'll be happy with that. I, on the other hand, have always said that I'd rather not have Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi. Give me fresh orange juice. Unfortunately, in the political structure, I don't see the fresh orange juice, which is where I'm sitting here right now, parched and dying for a drink.
Well, go have a drink. I'm going to do the same thing.
Well, I can't do it now, but as soon as the show is over, I'm drinking more coffee than I've ever had a drink to get through the show. And the minute the show is over, I'm drinking more vodka than I've ever had to drink. Thanks for the call. And I can't say I'm enjoying it less. I actually, in my own way, in my own wee way, I sit and I watch, you know, the world go around, and I get up here and I try to tell you the best I can of what's going on. Whether it does any good anymore, I don't know. But I think it's a good topic to talk about Halloween. I don't know what to do with the kids to come around this. I feel bad about turning the lights off, because I remember that when I was a kid in Queens, the people who did that, I thought they were so weird. Like, if there was a house, you know, where all the lights on, and they put the happiest house I ever went to in Flushing, New York, was a guy who gave out shiny dimes to all the kids. I thought he was like, you know, like God. Wow, look at this guy. He doesn't give us candy, you know. He doesn't give us, like, bad chocolate that's going to ruin us. Look at this guy. He gives us dimes. So I remembered him. I don't know his name. I'm sure he's long dead. He's pushing up daisies somewhere in Levittown in that area. But I don't know. Maybe I should get silver dollars today. Would the kids appreciate that? Then here's the problem. Let's say I stood there like John Schmuck with a whole box of silver dollars. I could really go crazy altogether. I put on a pirate's outfit with an eye patch and get a chest of silver dollars, really become a real whack job. They'd have me arrested. They'd say I'm doing something to the child. And who wants to touch a child's hand today? I'll be right back. Savage. The world's crazy. It's a crazier place than ever. I mean, what is Laura Bush doing in Burkaland in Saudi Arabia, talking about breast cancer? Does that make sense to anybody? Shouldn't she come home to look into the wildfires devastating Southern California instead of worrying about breast cancer in Saudi Arabia? That's number one. It's not the biggest problem, but everybody seems to be out of touch with reality in the political spectrum. I don't think they know the reality. It reminds me of a royalist time in history, when the royals and whatever the country may be were so out of touch with the peasants that bizarre things were happening both within the castle and outside the castle in the kingdom. That's how I feel. They are totally out of touch with the reality of our times, is how I see it. And all they're surrounded by yes men on both sides of the aisle. They have no idea what's going on in the real world. They mutter these stupidities, these inanities. They do inept things like trying to condemn the Ottoman Turkish Empire right now, when Turkey is our only real ally in the Muslim world, and terrible things have happened as a result. Or they hold stupid hearings, and they invite code stinkos in there, left-wing fanatic women who should be in a mental hospital, let alone a prison. And the ineptitude of the State Department can be seen in the ineptitude of the bodyguards for Condoleezza Rice, who let these hags get in her face. And then suddenly the brave men with machine guns came running up after it was too late. And here we are, you know, World Series, take me out to the small game, where Rudy Giuliani, the would-be president, yesterday was a Yankee fan, then a Red Sox fan. Before he was a Yankee fan, he was a Red Sox fan. Then when he was a Red Sox fan, he was a Yankee fan. You talk about carry flip-flopping. You want me to sit here and support Giuliani because he's better than Hillary? Are you kidding me? I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. I'll be back. Be here.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
A little bit. Remember, he beat these Boston Red Sox in Fenway Park
take
earlier this season.
Take me out to the small
pitch, he
game.
Threw 103 pitches.
Take
gave up
me
seven
out
hits.
To the crowd.
Boston had runners in scoring position five different
buy
times.
Me some peanuts Boston and crap. Welcome to the Savage Nation. You're listening to the madness of our society, where millions of Americans focus on men in striped suits who run around bases, hit things. I don't know. I feel like a Martian sometimes, like today. You got a fire going on with the largest displacement, I think, in American history. And that's all. A war going on, and that's all they want is a hot dog and a ball game. Who's going to throw the ball out? Play it again. Let's see what they're talking about.
He's got a changeup that usually what it does, a left-handed changeup would dive down and away from a right-handed.
Can you believe this?
For some reason, I don't know.
When I was 11, I outgrew this. A left-hand and the ball score. 11, I stop it. Just turn. I can't even listen to it. It's juggling. It's jamming my mind. I read that gambling is normal in an 11-year-old boy from 11 to 12. And if anyone gets stuck gambling after that, it's a case of arrested development. And I think it's the same thing with sports. I don't know. Is there any other nation like? Yes, there are other nations stuck with sports. The illiterates, for example, in South America, they go crazy for soccer. I think the illiterates in most countries are obsessed with sports. And I suppose you need them, I guess, to keep people interested in summer. You got to give them some reason to live. And that's why our political system is broken, because they think it's a ball game. The Red Sox versus the Yankees, the Democrats versus the Republicans. And you got morons wearing the jackets and running. You should see them in San Francisco. 49ers, like they run around with a jacket like they themselves are playing the game. They live for it. Or in the car, they run around blowing a horn. Maybe it's me. I admit that maybe I'm out of step with reality, and this could cost me my show. I realize there's nothing more sacrilegious than saying you're not a sports fan, but there it is. I've never come out of the closet exactly like I have today, but this is about as interesting as eating candy corn on Halloween. So since you're not interested in anything political and only interested in owning a dream home, and going to the baseball game. We can talk about dream homes, the baseball. No baseball callers, please. There's no news. You're not interested in any of the news. I proved already that beyond a reasonable doubt that the fires were not natural in origin, that some of them, at the very least, two of them we know, were started by arsonists. And one of the arsonists was eluding the police and was shot and killed. That's to prove it to you. Now, you haven't read that in the newspaper. They would like you to believe it was because George Bush didn't provide tanker planes fast enough. There are other observations. I mean, how come when they were herded into a stadium in New Orleans, there was rape, robbery, murder, mayhem, and a garbage? It looked like a garbage can. Whereas here in San Diego, there's been no rape, murder, or such, and it's clean. Can anyone explain that? Oops, sorry. I guess we'll have to get Dr. Watson for that one. And as you all know, he lost his job, so we can't use Dr. Watson to answer that question. KNEW, Daryl, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, thanks a lot for letting me know that it's Halloween, because I live here in the San Francisco Bay Area, and it's Halloween every day. I just wanted to thank you, sir.
Good. Very good. That's a good one. That's worth a cymbal shot. But no, you got to be careful in the streets of San Francisco. Halloween, it gets bad. It gets very bad. If you've lived here long enough, you know not to go out that night. I suggest you get a pizza and stay home.
Yes, it's very true. I learned not to go out most nights, actually.
Anyway. You're good. You got me two in a row. Well, I understand that if you go out most nights, you run the risk of getting either stabbed or at least you're going to slip on a used condom. I understand that in the city that we have. Where are the street sweepers in this city? It's so dirty for such a beautiful city. Why is there so much filth in the streets?
I have no idea, sir, but I know also you can roll your foot on a syringe if you.
Oh yes. Well, isn't that what Golden Gate Park was created for? Was for the use of junkies and perverts?
Very convinced.
I mean, you shouldn't just use. It wasn't designed for straight Christians to sit there with children and have a picnic on Sunday. It was made for sticking a spike in your arm or going under the windmill and having a male on male sex and then leaving used condoms in the park. Isn't that what it's for? Isn't that a perfectly good use for a park? Is to hunkies? Isn't that what it was designed for? Why only straight people? Who says they're the only ones who are entitled to use a park?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You see, you're thinking sexist, and you really have the attitudes of a druggist or a sexist. Play that ball game again. Maybe I'll become a sports fan and take Prozac, and I'll become normal. Play that again. I think I'm going to call a doctor tomorrow and get some Prozac. Maybe the world will look better to me if I go on Prozac and listen to the ballgame and sit there like a total schmuck. Is that the game itself? Wait a minute. Hold it. Where's the game? Isn't there a game? Oh, they're during commercial. That's the important thing is the commercial break. It's not about the game. It's about selling you the crap in between the game. No, the Satanists will be out tomorrow. Are there any young parents out there? Would you let your child dress up as a homeless bum and go beg for candy corn? What would you do that for? What are you afraid? Your child will be ostracized if they stay home? Why would you dress the child up and go have him run around the streets and beg? What value are you teaching your child? Can you explain to me what positive value are you teaching a child to dress him up as a beggar and have him go door to door and door to door and beg for candy corn? You want him to eat the candy that they give him? Forget the teeth. You're going to put him into a hypoglycemic state the next morning. He will not be able to go to school, or she will not be able to go to school. Oh, I'm sorry. That's every day for your child because you give him a pastry and a cocoa in the morning on the way to your exercise class and then give him a Ritalin pill so he can sit there like a zombie. Whoa, I don't know what's coming in 20 years. I have no idea what a generation. I'm almost, thank God, I'm not younger. I don't know what America is going to look like. Like a chain of zombies. Just a chain of idiot zombies who can't think. They grew up with earphones, brains. I'm going to stop. It's too negative. I think I'm going to read How to Win Friends and Influence People and convert you into believing that I actually believe. That's what they do in talk radio. They con you that if you listen to them, everything will come up roses. Do you watch sports? Does anyone? I know. You say, Mike, I'm a conservative and I watch sports. Good for you. How about the insanity of Halloween? No, I think in this hour I'm going to actually talk to Steve Emerson. I did invite him on the show. We're going to talk to him. And then I have a great interview with Steve Emerson coming up on why the media is playing Osama bin Laden propaganda. Why? Why do we care what that bum says from a cave? Why is he able to use CNN and all the other networks as a PR agency is what we're going to talk about. Then after that, we're going to talk to Selwyn Duke about what happened to Dr. Watson for expressing a mere idea. And how this is very dangerous for freedom. All of this is coming up on this hour. I don't think it's a throwaway hour. It is not. But Halloween is a very important topic. I still don't know how I'm going to celebrate it. I mean, how I'm not going to celebrate it. I don't know why I should lock myself away just because the lunatics are out. I don't know that I should do that to myself. Or should I give out silver dollars to the children? I can't do that. Don't you understand why? In liberal areas, if you stand there and actually give the child a coin, let's say, the child could say you touched them inappropriately. You gave him the coin inappropriately. The father could go and get a gun and shoot you, saying you touched my daughter inappropriately. No, sir, I just gave the daughter a coin. No, you didn't. You touched her above the wrist. I'm going to have you arrested. No, I think I'm going to lock the gates, turn off the lights, and give him nothing. I'll read the Bible. I'll just sit there and read the Bible for 5 hours, wondering how I can get through this night. Just go cold turkey on the children. They could survive without me giving them more candy corn, couldn't they? Why should I give them candy corn? First of all, I don't believe in it. I told you, I gave them health food. They all threw it down the street. years ago when I was still thinking I could, you know, do some good. I gave them apples, God knows what, healthful pastries. You should see them look through. They rifle through it. I left it in a big box. They had a choice between candy and the good food. They rifled through the good food, and they only took the candy. They threw all the good food in the gutter to show you what children will do left to their own devices. Children are little animals, in case you don't know it. They have no brains whatsoever. That's why they're called children. And you as a parent are not supposed to be their friend. You're supposed to be their guide, called a parent. You're not supposed to be their best. I can't stand people saying, I'm my child's best friend. That means you failed as a parent already. Don't be their best friend. Be their mentor. Teach them something. Be an adult. Don't dress like them. Don't put on crack pants. Don't put on shorts. Don't put baseball hats on backwards. Don't go bowling with them. Be a mentor. Teach them what life is all about. Don't be their best friend. Don't take them out for Halloween. All right, you're not going to listen to me anyway. You're going to think I'm just doing this for effect. And I suppose in a way I am. But I'm locking the gates and I'm giving them nothing. Well, coming up is a great interview. I think it's with Steve Emerson immediately thereafter these commercial breaks. And then after that, Selwyn Duke. You're not going to want to miss it. I'll be back in a moment. I've had Steve Emerson on the show before. He is really a great anti-terrorism expert. He knows what's going on. Now, the liberal media continues to broadcast Osama bin Laden's hate messages as though they are his PR agency. So I brought Steve Emerson on the show to talk about this craziness, okay? Hey, Steve, why is Osama bin Laden releasing a video at this time?
It's unclear whether he meant to release it only to his followers, whether it was inadvertently broadcast through some type of interdiction, or whether he simply has lost command and control and is unable to talk to his followers except through Al Jazeera.
What did he say?
Well, it was an extraordinary message of telling, you know, urging his followers to adhere to discipline and admitting his mistakes, essentially admitting his weakness. It was an acknowledgement of unprecedented nature because he had never admitted this before. He's also bemoaning the fact that he's lost control over his followers in Anbar. So this is in contrast to his, obviously blustery statements and from the past 5-6 years.
Why is the media allowing his message of hate to be so freely disseminated, Steve?
Well, I mean, first of all, the media disseminates anything that's on Al Jazeera that has to do with bin Laden. I mean, there's no difference the way they treat this and the way they treat any other message. So, if anything, I mean, this is something that is rather typical. I don't think that this is playing into the hands of his enemies, of our enemies, because this is a message that is quite revealing. I mean, if anything, he did not want this message falling into the hands of the bad guys, in which case that's us.
What's the takeaway message from this video?
My takeaway message, Michael, is that he is weak, that he has lost control in Iraq, that he has to admit defeat, a weakness, he has to apologize. Remember, the last time that he berated his people in Iraq was an intercepted message that he sent to Zarqawi that was a written message intercepted several years ago by the U.S. intelligence agencies. This time, he's not using a conveyance by written documents. He's using a broadcast message, and he wants this to go to his followers.
Why won't Bush and the Democrats take out bin Laden once and for all?
Because we don't know exactly where he is. And that's really the big problem. There's a paucity of intelligence, and no one knows his exact whereabouts. Well, I mean, the question is how much – you can't really put boots on the ground in those types of areas that only alerts his followers. So you depend upon, you know, people who are on the inside. Those are his protectors. They're not talking, and they're not going to be convinced by $50 million or $100 million. You know, they'd rather kill you than give up him. Is there a way to, he'll slip up one of these days. I mean, you know, remember 2 years ago we tried to get Al-Zahiri because we thought he was going to be at a dinner in upper northwest Pakistan, and we missed him by hours.
Do you think we have the attitude necessary in order to get this guy?
I think the capabilities are not there. I think we're lacking capabilities. I don't know. I can't give you an answer as to who's the fault here. I know that I've spoken to a senior intelligence operative who was pretty demoralized. He was based in the area, and because of the fear of risk, because of risk aversion, he was not allowed to do more intelligence collection for about bin Laden. This is in the last couple of months. Now, it doesn't mean that this is a Bush administration policy. Remember, the CIA does not operate necessarily according to Bush administration doctrine. You know, they undercut the Bush administration for years. There are a lot of people on the left in the CIA who really like to undercut every component of Bush administration counterterrorism policy.
Why does the media refuse to acknowledge the Clintons' complicity in the Osama bin Laden war of terror against America?
Hey, I'm just a poor little investigator. No, I can't figure out the self-inflicted wounds, the inability to put out material. I mean, I've stopped. You know, I thought this administration, frankly, was in free fall when you see the FBI doing outreach to groups that are sympathetic to bin Laden. Yes, it's a lot worse than that. A lot worse. I mean, it is. I can't go into it, but I can tell you it is a lot worse. I mean, people will be shocked. And, in fact, I'm doing a documentary about this.
What's the name of this documentary?
The Grand Deception.
Who is really protecting bin Laden?
We don't know who's protecting him. I mean, you know, you figure it's local tribesmen. There's no doubt that he's got a complex network of people. But, you know, again, he's surrounded by, he may be in a cave and he hasn't moved in 6 years, but who knows? You know, I can't tell you exactly, you know, who his confidants are, who his, you know, patrol people are. I just don't know.
Where do you think he is, Steve?
You know, I'm gonna say that I just don't know. I don't think anybody. Well, look, I should say that there are people who have an idea of where he is, but I've been told that he's near China, on the border in Afghanistan. So, is that credible? I can't prove it. I mean, this is the real problem with the intelligence coming around about him. Michael, thanks very much. I enjoy listening to you. It's the highlight of my day. Usually if I'm driving and I'm listening to you, I laugh so hysterically that I can get into an accident.
Savage.
Go again. The liberal media in this country is trying to employ thought control techniques that we've only seen in Germany. And behind the Iron Curtain, Dr. James Watson was recently smeared by these hacks. A man who blazed the path to modern studies of DNA in the human genome has been accused of generating an irrational argument without scientific foundation. More reprehensibly, he has been labeled a racist simply for presenting a previously unexplored scientific query. I've asked Selwyn Duke to help us explore this thought policing injustice. Selwyn, why is this? Why are they calling Watson a racist?
As you know, in Nazi Germany and Stalinist Russia, there were certain questions, scientific and philosophical, that couldn't be asked because they were contrary to the party line, to the ideology of the day. And tragically, like you've pointed out, it's no different in our time. We were talking about Dr. James Watson. Well, he was the geneticist who helped unravel the structure of DNA, so you're talking about a man who is certainly quite intelligent and accomplished. But yet, he came under fire, terrible fire, simply for saying that Africans might not be as intelligent as Westerners. Now, aside from his remarks being deemed baseless and unscientific, as you've said, he's been labeled a racist. Some thought police even wanted him charged under Britain's Orwellian racial hatred laws. Watson was conducting a speaking tour in Britain at the time, Michael. In light of this tendency to apply the R word, one that claims his victims, late sportscaster Jimmy the Greek Snyder, manager of the Cincinnati Reds Dusty Baker, former baseball commissioner Al Campanis, late NFL player Reggie White, and many others, I have a question. What is racism? Is it simply voicing beliefs about differences among races?
Am I a racist if I say that blacks have darker skin and frizzier hair than whites?
No, I suppose not. Now, what about if I point out that blacks commit an inordinate amount of crime and that 70% of black children are born out of wedlock versus 27% for whites? Well, in our culture, you can get in trouble for that. But why?
So, and that doesn't make any sense. On what basis should we determine what is racist?
Michael, you might think that pointing out negative characteristic qualities or the weaknesses of a race makes a person racist. But even this can't be so. After all, we take pains to emphasize that sickle cell anemia predominantly plagues blacks and that they're more likely also to develop heart disease. Then there's the fact that Tay-Sachs disease is found only among certain distinct groups, mainly Jews. In fact, were we to claim that these crosses are borne equally by all, we would be labeled racist for ignoring what ails minorities. It would be said that we really didn't care if they lived or died.
Wait, there's something we're not seeing here. Can we not point out differences which, when brought to light, can lead to discrimination that doesn't benefit politically favored groups?
But this gets confusing. On the one hand, we're castigated for pointing out differences. On the other, we're complimented for doing so. Of course, it might seem that we mustn't bring to light differences when doing so can lead to discrimination. But not so fast. When we emphasize the fact that only certain groups suffer from certain diseases, they receive attention and funding that others won't. Not only that, showcasing disparities in performance among the races has long been used to justify quotas and set-asides. So this is where you must start to think that there's more here, or less, than meets the eye. Is it that we can't point out differences which, when brought to light, can lead to discrimination that doesn't benefit politically favored groups? Michael, now we're getting somewhere. That's certainly part of the equation.
But then how do we define what is racist?
Well, it can't be discovered by analyzing what has been said about Dr. Watson, but by what is usually left unsaid. Few have said his remarks were not true in just those words. And this brings us to the crux of the matter. All intellectual inquiry, be it scientific or philosophical, should be a search for truth. And this search must be sincere and remain unfettered by agendas or dogmas. And we do otherwise at our own peril. And this is why the politically correct thought police are so destructive. When they criticize a man like Watson, like you've pointed out, Michael, they rarely say his statements are untrue because whether or not they're true doesn't matter to these thought police. And this is because they're blinded by their twisted agenda. Now, Michael, having an agenda or hypothesis doesn't make them unusual, but an intellectually honest seeker of knowledge will alter his hypothesis when the data contradicts it. To these folks, however, their agenda is deified and takes precedence over truth. So, when the truth contradicts their agenda, instead of altering the latter, they simply suppress or rationalize away the truth. Or, that is, anything they may fear is truth. And it's ironic, too, because these leftists are the same people who usually condemn Christianity for stifling scientific enterprise. A false claim, mind you. I mean, how many times have we heard about Galileo?
Well, you're right about Galileo.
And I'll add here that his story has been mischaracterized.
But it's the leftist socialist media that is stifling scientific inquiry and open debate today.
And even more egregiously, Michael, these modern-day inquisitors would imprison those who violate their dogma. They have become guilty of what they decry.
These people really hate the truth, don't they?
The truth is that the outrage here isn't Dr. Watson's remarks. They're either true or not. What's outrageous is that we're suffering under the yoke of those to whom truth means nothing. These practitioners of a dark faith. They don't care if a statement is correct, only whether it's politically correct. They hate the truth when it contradicts their agenda, and they'll stop at nothing to still the tongues of those who would dare voice it. Racists? These miscreants are far worse. They are truthists.
What is the truth about racial differences, Selwyn? Is it logical or rational to claim that except for appearance and a few diseases and conditions of the body, that every racial group is the same in every way?
This is the left's implication, Michael, and it's absurd. It seems especially odd when you consider that most of these inquisitors are secularists who subscribe to the theory of evolution. Yet, despite their belief that different groups evolved in completely different parts of the world, operating in different environments and subject to different stresses, They would have us believe that all groups are identical in terms of the multitude of man's talents and in every single measure of mental capacity. Why, miracle of miracles. All these two-legged cosmic accidents, a product of a billions of years' journey from the primordial soup to primacy among creatures, whose evolution was influenced by perhaps millions of factors, wound up being precisely the same.
Can't they even see how that is an argument for God?
Michael, it's really the best argument for God I've ever heard, as such a statistical impossibility could only exist if it was ordained by the one with whom all things are possible.
If we really care about a racist condition, shouldn't we diagnose its condition, whatever that condition may be, properly?
Of course, Michael, you're absolutely right. We should do that, because if we diagnose a race's condition properly, then we can ensure that its gifts may be best utilized, its inherent weaknesses best mitigated, and its problems best remedied. And if this makes sense with physical crosses, such as sickle cell anemia and heart disease, doesn't it make sense for all crosses, be they spiritual, social, or, dare I say, intellectual? And look, stating this isn't wrong or racist, and it shouldn't be repressed. And as Dr. Watson might say, that's something you don't have to be a Sherlock to understand. Michael, thank you for having me on the show, and God bless you and your audience.
Selwyn Duke, again, thank you for your brilliant insights.
Savage.
Most Americans, there it is, there you go, that's what's important, that's what's important, Republicans versus Democrats, Yankees versus the Boston Red Sox, suddenly it's 1890, just get out the hoops, all right, turn it off. You know, we were talking earlier about the difference between the crowds that were herded into the stadium in New Orleans and how they behaved compared with the peace reigning in San Diego. I mean, it's a tragedy, a natural disaster, and yet there's no murder, no rape, no shootings, nothing going on here in San Diego. Now, I would like to rule out the racial factors here, and I have another theory, and that could be based upon the fact that I understand they herded some of the animals from the surrounding ranches into the stadium here. And since many of the people in San Diego are liberal and many of the animals are companion animals, that could explain it. Now, I'm not suggesting that they're like an Amenclaw, Washington, but it could be that the people were soothed by the goats and by the pigs and by the cows and by the dogs that they took into the stadium. I think that would be a socially acceptable analysis, wouldn't it? That leaves out the racial factor. And, of course, it lauds the animal, and so everybody wins. So let's assume that it was because the San Diegans were allowed to bring in companion animals and the people in New Orleans were not. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. There's some great stories we've missed on the michaelsavage.com website, and that is, here's a good one. Women's studies professor says Islamic fundamentalists violate women's rights. It took them all these years. A professor, an endowed chairperson of the University of Rhode Island's Women's Studies Program, finally suggested that Islamic fundamentalists violate women's rights. Now, the audience was packed. There were 35 people in the audience. And she was booed by a Muslim Student Association girl of cover who said that there is no Islamic fascism and that there is no oppression of women in Islam. That's even though there's honor killings, beating, stoning, threats, and family pressure. And she finally discovered that they basically treat women as dirt. And that's what's going on. Women's studies are finally awakening to the fact that Islamic fundamentalism is a threat to women, which is just shocking. Just shocking that they've discovered this. And, of course, I don't know how long she'll keep her job, because this is, again, along the lines of Dr. Watson. You can't say that Islamic fundamentalism is violent. You can't say it violates women's rights. In fact, what you can say is that it's just bad people who do bad things. They're sort of like rowdy fraternity boys who have it all wrong, that if only they were brought to justice and and educated, they would cease their ways. They'd be happy to flip camel burgers. What do you want to talk about? Halloween, baseball, put on the sports again. I want to hear what people are listening for.
With Euclid at second and nobody out. Everybody in the American League tries
who's
to
on first?
Pitch Ortiz inside. Left-handers are more effective in doing that than right-handers.
Oh, all right, turn it off. Now, I couldn't name one baseball player in America today. Isn't that sad? Should I be arrested for being a communist? Something un-American about me. I know that. There's just something about me that's un-American that I don't know one baseball player. I couldn't name one football player, nor one basketball player, nor for that matter could I name one member of the Crips or Bloods. So there must be something un-American about me. I only know a few actors and a few actresses, so I'd fail that IQ test as well. And maybe that should be the new IQ standards, which is knowing the names of every baseball player and every team in the major leagues, and the names of every of football player, and the names of every would-be starlet and actor. Why, then men like me would be forced to clean latrines, and the idiots could then run the country. Isn't that what was done in communist China when they took laundresses out of the laundry and said, comrade, you're going to be a surgeon because we've just shot the surgeon as part of our revolution? And she said, but I don't know how to be a surgeon. They said, don't be a counter-revolutionary or we'll shoot you too. So maybe that's the direction America should go in, is change all IQ tests to make sure that the dummies can get the highest marks and that people who have brains don't know the answers to the questions. And then bingo, suddenly you've got everything perfectly correct. Isn't that wonderful? Then we'd have a perfect society just made for the socialist New World Order. Here's another study. Too much marijuana makes pain worse, not better. That's right. You didn't know that, all of you brainwashed dopeheads. But a new study has come out, absolutely new study, that says that too much marijuana makes pain worse, not better. You can read about it on michaelsavage.com. Now, where am I getting this from? Well, I made it up. Well, I didn't make it up. Did I make it up? No, it's in the November issue of the journal Anesthesiology. But then again, what do anesthesiologists know about pain and medication? Why, everything. But since it flies in the face of those of you who want to believe in medical marijuana and its benefits, we must assume that everyone who writes for the journal Anesthesiology is a fool or a charlatan or works for the anti-drug lobby, and throw out the science and replace it with your belief system. Because if the belief makes you feel good, well, that's what's important, is that your feelings are satisfied. Lead author Dr. Mark S. Wallace, University of California, San Diego, said, our study suggests there's a therapeutic window for analgesia, with low doses of marijuana being ineffective, medium doses resulting in pain relief, and high doses increasing pain. On different days, the research subjects smoked low, medium, or high doses of cannabis based on the content of 9-delta delta hydrocannabinol. Tetrahydrocannabinol, the main active chemical in marijuana, or an inactive placebo. That's like a dummy smoke. They then induced pain by injecting capsaicin, the hot chemical found in chili peppers, into the skin. And that is a standard technique used in pain studies. Don't tell that to people from south of the border. Although every time I go in an Italian restaurant in Californico, or Mexifornia rather, I have to tell them, no capsaicin in my tomato sauce, please. I'm not a laborer working in the fields. Can you please make an Italian tomato sauce? 5 minutes after smoking, none of the three doses. Anyway, you get the picture. Marijuana is a complete lie from the top to the bottom. Based on his studies, Wallace said he would not recommend marijuana as a method of pain reduction at this time. You see? So there's what the new study has said. Now, there's going to be a great outcry because when in a politically corrected society such as ours, when science flies in the face of what the society wants, then the science must be wrong. And that's the new science. That's the new world order science. It's called liberal science. Liberal science says that when the facts confuse the facts must be thrown out and the feelings must reign supreme. Let's see what else we have here on the Savage, MichaelSavage.com website. Government pork. Florida, Muslim student accused of carrying bomb-making materials now says he didn't know what was in his car's trunk. That's the Egyptian college student in Las Vegas who was found with the bomb-making materials. He already spoke to a boy from NYU who said, dummy up, tell him you don't know what was in your trunk. In fact, you don't know what a trunk is. Tell him you don't know what a car is. Tell him you don't know who you are. You don't know your name. You don't know where you're from. You have no idea what country you're in, and then we'll plead this out. That's a great story. That's another example of where the facts and the suspicions disagree. Always throw the facts out. Well, the big story of the day is that the latest version of the DREAM Act failed in the Senate, so Harry Reid took another black eye, and that Pelosi and that other guy whose name I forget have committed one of the greatest blunders of our modern times and has led to a new war, which is the Turks and the Kurds suddenly bombing and fighting each other. It flared up specifically because of them. I'm sorry to report, not happy to report it. In the other lead story, and a very big one, is the fire story, the fires, which is that the fires were probably set, in some cases, for sure, by arsonists. Some of the fires that have now become one giant conflagration in the Southwest, in the L.A., San Diego, Santa Barbara corridor, are related to arson. Did I make it up? No. In fact, one of the arsonists is dead as he tried to elude the police. He tried to run them over. They shot him dead. They have not released his identity, his name, his garb, his country of origin, so we can't rush to conclusions here. We know that there may have been a terrorist element and there may be an illegal alien element in the fires, but the big but is, will you ever hear this from government or media sources? Answer, unlikely. They will continue to say it's because of global warming. And if only you'd give up your car and your electric toothbrush and God knows what else, the fires would not have happened. That will be the official party line coming out of this. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. There are no other late headlines because everyone's watching sports. Oh, and incidentally, those of you who don't believe there were arsonists, there's a $70,000 reward looking for the next arsonist. The wildfire has officially been declared arson for those of you in the global warming crowd. And a reward has been offered for information leading to arrest. Don't tell that to CNN, ABC, NBC, or any of the other alphabet channels, because that flies in the face of the global warming scenario, which, as you well know, is the only scenario possible for such wildfires. Also, don't tell them that the houses should never been built in these arid regions. Don't also tell them that it was the environmental wackos who did not permit controlled burns. Again, the facts fly in the face of their reality, and you don't want to upset liberals, especially during working hours, because they're not yet able to access their domestic companion animal nor their medical marijuana. With God's will and your listenership, Mike shall return.